गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्दुतिभिः सेधसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ Consider yourself comfortably. You can take a few long and deep breaths. Let yourself relax. So in Anditidhyasanam, in Vedantic meditation, we observe things according to the teachings. I try to see things in that light instead of in the light, the usual way that I look at things. So looking from a different angle. So when I think of myself, I, it's singular. I don't think of myself as many. I'm one. I don't think of myself as when just I, as many limbs, right? Many faculties, seeing, hearing, thinking, walking, etc. I do attribute them to I see, I think, I hear. But when just I think of myself, I know it's one, it's not multiple. But then when I identify with these faculties, suddenly I become many. Many thoughts, many ideas, many feelings, many activities. So I have to look at myself and see, am I one or am I many? In essence, which am I? Any of the faculties, if they are there or aren't there, I'm still the same one. I'm not somebody else. Any ability that I have, And then later, if I don't have that ability anymore, either way, I'm the same one. And also any faculty or ability appears just under certain conditions. Under the other conditions, it's not there. I go all around doing things with this body. Now I go to sleep. I'm still there, but from my perspective, no body. I see things very clearly. Later the eyes are closed, I don't see anything. I'm still there. If these were part of I, then I would be multiple, like a car has many pieces. But I is always singular, one and the same. If these were really connected to I, there would be some sort of cause-effect relation. Like the wheel is going on the road, so the wheel slowly gets affected. The tire slowly gets rubbed down. There'd be some sort of effect. Then I would change, but isn't I the same? Same now as it always was. So this is something one needs to take time, clarify for oneself. We can say, yes, the teaching point that I'm one. But those are the teachings in the book or in the theory, but I have to look at it. I have to resolve that for myself. Am I one or am I many? Resolving means also the implications of being one or many. Mantra can repeat after me, part by part. The beginning of the text, you have it there. Apyayantu mamangani.
Apyayantu mamangani.
Vat pranashchak. Shushrotram.
Vapranakshakshushrotram.
Atho balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Atho balamindriyani cha sarvani.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Sarvam brahma upanishadam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Maham brahma nirakuryam.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Mama brahma nirakarot.
Anirakaranamastu.
Anirakaranamastu.
Anirakaranam mestu.
Anirakaranam mestu.
Ya upanishatsu dharmas.
Ya upanishatsu dharmas.
Te mai santu, te mai santu.
Te mai santu, te mai santu.
Om shanti shanti shanti.
Om shanti shanti shanti.
So, one thing which I've tried to work on, which is a good habit, when you have mantras like this, at the beginning we discuss the meaning, you can always look it up some more or clarify. Very good when chanting, you chant with the meaning, otherwise it's just a technical thing, I just chant blah, 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 blah. It can be any sound, right? So it's a very good habit with these types of things, then you get to know the meaning and then you can chant with the meaning because it's a, there's good important meaning behind it, right? That we discussed the beginning, may all the limbs be strong, healthy. Why? So right after that it said, after may all of them be in place, sarvam brahma upanishadam. That's the reason why. If I have a vehicle and I want to drive somewhere, I want to go to San Francisco now, if that vehicle is old and every other week some part is kind of falling off, then I need to take care of it well or I might not get to San Francisco or LA or wherever I want to go. So maybe strong, why? So I can look into these things, right? If my back is all out, right? If my mind is all disturbed like this, how am I going to look into these things? Of course, I should look into them anyway, but it will be an impediment, of course. So may they be repaired. And also I need the instrument. I need a good mind, sharp mind to look into this. So it's not going to be possible to look into this. So this, everything is that one Brahman. Just that one thing, contemplate on for your whole life. We're helping to look into that. The text gives the pointers why it's like that, because it's not obvious, as we said. But then, amazing, just take that and just chant that one thing, Saravam Brahma Upanishadam, your whole day, contemplate on that. And then may my attention go on this, may it not get lost in other things, is pretty much what was being said after. So it's good to remind myself and keep in mind when I'm chanting it like this. So in any case, the student had asked at the beginning of the text, the whole text is about this one thing, what is this? Is there something that is, beyond the mind, beyond the senses, beyond all of this, this my limited self like this. Is there something like this? I think there's something there, because I see, I hear, I think, but it seems I can go only so far, but I can't see further, but it seems that I'm not just limited to these things. So a student who has, who's learned some of these things, who's looked into and has some idea from their own mananam, their own introspection, there must be something like this. So what is? So asked about it. And then as we saw, the answer and the way that this is being discussed is a very interesting way, because any way that it can be said can cause a lot of confusion. Because the confusion is, yes, there is the God of religion. Yes, is the God in the heaven in that place. So for earlier on, yes, I want to get to somewhere, I'm in a bad place, let me do something, I'm feeling better. Okay, there is use for it. But eventually, when you go deeper into that, won't answer the questions, that won't do. Then why is the God there? Why not here? right? If the God is all pervasive, all powerful, how can he be there and not here? Right? How can there be the hell? The God isn't welcome in the hell, right? When I went to college, some Korean friend, who he's a Christian, I think Catholic, and the different streams, I don't know the big differences, but he go to the church. And friend, and he's this nice friend, and he was working a little concerned because he said, well, he goes to the church, and there the priest says that Christ will save him if you go there. So he's concerned, his good friend, he's not going to the church, what will happen to him? I said, yeah, my master will, just like Christ will save you, my master will save me, it's okay. He's not so sure, but he hoped it's like this. So again, at least it puts a crack in the idea. Maybe the person matures and starts looking a little further. Nothing wrong with his religion, but have to look further. That's just, that can't be everything, okay? So the answer then wasn't, yes, there is something behind, it's the Atma. Then the student will say, okay, I'm the Atma, done. Now I can go to sleep, I can relax, no problem. The moment we put a label on it, I think I know it, because there's a label, right? I think I know. Like somebody says something, here's a very interesting thing actually. This somebody made some video like this they made. They would go and ask people, do you believe in Bible? Yes, 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 Bible is. What about Quran? No, 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 no. Okay, very good. This verse from the Bible, what do you think of it? Oh, it's beautiful, look at that. Then they tell the person, no, that was actually from Quran. Because the person says, I know, but they haven't read everything in knowing it like this. So that's why if they say it's Atma, what is there? Yes, there is something behind it's Atma. Now what? So that's why when you hear Atma, you hear Brahman, if you make a concept, it's this. Now it's this. Then you made an idea of it, and the idea has to sit in your mind. We'll discuss more of that today, actually. Then that can't be it. That's why I said the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, mind of the mind. Yes, it's that one which is, we call one of the terms, pratyagatma. People say, why all these terms in this? Well, it's to explain, to point to it, right? Different pointers, that's all. Pointers to something. So pratyagatma, innermost self. It's you, but the innermost you, right? Not something. And innermost, again, it's not that, okay, here this body, I'll go more inside. And then there's something and more inside, subtlest. Inner, again, is subtlest. There's words will always be limited. That's the issue. It'll always be. Like people draw, there's the annamaya kosha, physical body, then pranamaya inside, then manomaya inside. It's not like that. It's not like that. Actually, it'll be more expansive, most probably. It's just a diagram to get an idea, but you take the diagram, that's how it is. That's not. So this way, pointing it in this way. So there's one interesting point here about this, that words we said are used to point this out. Words are limited, but that's the tool that we have. So there's very interesting to explain about how the words are used also for this. We have like this. There's pramana, I'll write in Sanskrit and English, pramana, janya. Oops. The arm is working fondly now. Bodhaka. Actually, before Bodhaka, there's one more thing. Janya Jnana. Bodhaka. Vakya. This is pramana, janya, jnana, bodhaka vakya. Bodhaka vakya. So what this means? Interesting. This is something I hadn't studied Sanskrit for so a while back that I actually studied now a little bit. But just being in the Sikh classes, it reminds and it brings me things. You work backwards when you have the when you have these long conjunct words in Sanskrit. So vakya means it's a word or it's sentence, right? Like it's a sentence. Bodhaka that helps to point out, that indicates. So the sense it indicates what? It indicates jnanam, knowledge. And what is the knowledge born of? Pramana. Pramana, you all remember, of course, the means of knowledge, valid means of knowledge, like seeing, hearing, like this. So there's a statement that helps to reveal, indicates some sort of knowledge that is born of a pramana. Like, for instance, I go out to the garden and I see something, right? I see a sunflower. Nice sunflower coming up there. You plant it once, then every year they keep coming back like this. So then what happens is I tell you there's a sunflower in the garden also. That sentence is, I'm saying, look, that's a sunflower. So the sentence is giving you some knowledge. What kind of flower is it? I haven't seen it before. Oh, it's a sunflower. So it's pointing out something that is through pramana. Look, you see. So you see it. So then the statement is helping to point out some knowledge that is through, you know, that is through a pramana. It's not like, you know, somebody just says something without some pramana like this. So in this way, that's one type of sentence you can have, one type of statement you can have, which we have all the time, like this, right? We heard in the news, tsunami alert, and this. Oh, what happened? We heard. Okay, then that pointed out there was an earthquake, an 8.7, 8.8, on the Richter scale. What do they call it? They just, the term, the earthquake in Kamchatka. And because of that, there's an alert that maybe there will be some flooding or there will be big waves here. So the pramana, the hearing, and also my understanding, I use them in order to, and then I look in the news, so visual. So all the pramana, but it's bringing out to something that is, can be grabbed by the pramana, by senses or mind, pretty much, or the pramana that I have. You can start saying there's other pramana, but, you know, we leave it as those valid means of knowledge. So it points this out. So that's one type of thing. One type of vakya, one type of statement. Now, if I were to just add an a over here, ajanya, right? Ajanya, pramana, ajanya, jnana, bodhaka, vakya. So what it is here, it's a statement that points out knowledge that is not born from a pramana. Right? And that is one thing you say, I am. What pramana, what means of knowledge did you use to say, I am? To know I am. What did you use? Did you use your eye? Did you use your ears? Right? I listen. Right? I'm getting older, so I feel aches and pains. Okay, so I know I'm there. This old rabbi, he's no more. He lived till he was 97. That I knew well. He's a good friend of our guru's. Then he was old, in his 90s. He had pain in his leg, and he said, it's wonderful. It hurts, so I know I'm alive. If it didn't hurt, I'd be dead. So there, I am because I have the pain, right? I am because my spouse tells me I'm there. Am I here? Yes. Okay, yes, I'm here. Like this. Or somebody says, I have to ask my guru. My guru, am I? Yes, you are. Okay. My guru says, no, you're not. Because you're a Buddhist. You're a Buddhist, so nothingness. Okay, so sorry, I'm not. Like this. So I am. What pramanam do you need this? What do you need for that? The word I am. What do you need? So again, so here, I see, I see, yes, I see, I know, I can tell. You're the one behind the scene. You know you're behind the scene, right? What is it pointing to? What paramanam do you need to know that you're the one behind the scene? Of course, I see. So of course I'm the one behind the scene. What do you think? He said, don't think. That's what you are. You think and that's the problem. You think that you're the one seeing. Don't think and you're just one. But I take myself to be all these other ideas. So the thing is, I have all sorts of erroneous thoughts, so the thing we have to shake, Vedanta, I shake them up, because to shake off the erroneous notions. So Swami Dayananji, somebody once said, oh, what you're teaching is brainwashing. He says, yes, it's washing the brain. So this is the vakyas that are used here are like that. They're not bringing something from my pramana. Now, of course, as we said, more introductory text, like a very introductory text, Tattva Bodha, it gives a nice structure, right? Yes, there's a physical body. Yes, there's subtle body. Yes, there's these different koshas. Okay, and it's very useful for me for some viveka. But then I have to understand that what I'm looking at myself is not something that I'm going to grab onto. I can't grab onto it through a pramana. Otherwise, it would be given. Otherwise, something would be given for it. So that's why these types of statements are used to point it out, not the general statement that I have in the everyday, because otherwise we could just use the regular terminology and be fine, no problem. We can do it. One person that I know in Los Angeles, so he's a retired he's a yogi and retired mathematician. So some physics thing that he was working on, he said, in order to work on it, he had to create his own mathematics, which I don't understand what that is. A mathematician of his stature, some mathematicians understand, in order to work on it, right? Like this. Different things, their language is created for that because it fits in, otherwise the regular language doesn't work. So here also, we are using, regular language, be it Sanskrit, be it English, because all these things we say in English too. It's not that English isn't there, just because the terminology is there in Sanskrit. We use it. That's all. That's if terminology is there, it's not necessary. So the language is used to point this out. So we have to follow these pointers and then to look at it if you want, like this. So this is, and again, look, not eyes, mind, it's me, right? I am, there's no pramanam, no means of knowledge to grasp I. I want to grasp I. But how are you going to grasp it? You are that, right? So this is, these vakyas are done differently than the normal ones that we're speaking in our day-to-day, okay? So that's what this is pointing out, what these vakyas are pointing out. So in any case, last week explained a little bit more, teachers saying why, about the speech, right? The speech can't bring Brahman to light, can't shed light on Brahman, on yourself. But because of the consciousness, because of that consciousness, then the speech is possible like this. This is what we're saying. The next few mantras follow the same thing, but for these different tools that I have, right? So let's see number 6 now. It's on page 16 here.
Yan manasa namunate
yenahurmanomatam
tadeva brahmatvam vidhi
nedam yadidam upasate Yan manasa namanute yenahurmano matam tadeva brahmatvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. Brahman is that very consciousness which does not know with the mind, but by which they say the mind is known. Then it says, that alone is Brahman. Know this, not what is worshipped or meditated on here. So these next few verses, mantras, follow the same same structure. So here now talking about the mind, as we just discussed. And what does the mind do? We say the mind thinks. What does it mean by think? What does it do? It has to put some structure. No structure, there's no thought, just chaos. Thought, some structure, meaning it has to do something to whatever it experiences, whatever it feels, so it objectifies. Mind has to objectify things. Without objectifying, how is it going to store that information? Right? Brings up things by association, meaning there's some similarity to the objects. So, otherwise, without objectifying, yeah, it's something, let me store it. Mind won't know what to do with it. Right? It'll get lost. It's something, yes, but what is it? Right? People have the different games that they are guessing. Well, is it big? Is it small? Bigger than this, smaller than that? Is it living? Is it not living? All this kind of stuff. Right? So mind wants to objectify. There's something that needs to objectify. This is what it does and what it can do. So, okay, so the mind does this. Now, as we've discussed, now the mind wants to grab the Brahman, wants to grab the consciousness. Meaning, let's say the flower again, I see the flower. So in seeing the flower, then the eyesight is seeing, but you know, comes to the mind. Without the mind behind, nothing will happen. So the mind pervades everything in the eyesight to see it. So the mind is more subtle, pervading everything in the sight. If it wasn't more subtle, it wouldn't be able to grasp it. It's the more pervasive and more subtle is going to be, more pervasive is more subtle. And like the, you know, we have the earth here, but then the more pervasive, we have the gas. The space, more pervasive, everything within it. More pervasive, more subtle. So the mind will be more pervasive than what it's seeing, what it's conceiving of, because it has to, you know, it has to pervade all over in order to grab it. It's pervading the whole eyesight, all the petals, all this. It sees some depth, right? Sees the height of it, all these things. It pervades all these things and is beyond those, like this. And then it grasps it, and then it takes some flower, puts it somewhere in the mind, right? Stores it away. More information about, slowly we'll add to and store there. Some of the memory goes bad over time as we age, so some of those files get a little deleted or a little corrupted. Like that. It's a mechanism, right? That's all. So like this. Okay. Now, so that's about the flower. Now you say about consciousness, about Brahman. Now, if the mind goes and grasps Brahman, meaning it's going to be more subtle than Brahman, then the spaceless, all-expansive, right? Nirguna, no qualities, it has to go and do that. Has to be more expansive, more subtle. Is that going to work? Then how is it going to grab it, right? Then the a different Upanishad, it says, which we probably repeated many times like this, it says, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. The speech wanted to grasp, right? That one, wants to grasp that. And then, so with the help of the mind, but it was not able to do that like this. So it's not possible. So that's why the mind is not going to grab it. It can't. It can't get to what is behind it. As we said last week, the character in the movie cannot grasp the light that is, because the light is all pervasive in the movie and of a different dimension, not part of the movie. So the dimension of the mind can't go to the consciousness which is behind it, similar to the movie and character there. How's it going to do it? It's not within its purview. So that's why the mind is not going to do that. The mind needs some instrument. Just like you have a tong, and with the tong you do things, you lift things. Some people have those long ones that lift up garbage. Or for cooking, you have the tong, you flip things, serve them, whatever, save the tongs. So the mind has certain tongs that it needs to do things. Vedanta breaks them down into desha, kala, kalana. The space, time and causation. Right? Those who were here when we did the Dakshinamurti Stotram, some of you were here then. Then the second verse it says, Bijasya Ivan. Of course, I chant it all the time, but when one does say it's gone. But there it says, Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana. So by Maya, what happens is what appears, what comes up is the Desha Kala Kalana, the space, time, and causation. The mind needs those. Without those, how's it going to grab them? There's something. Okay, it has to be somewhere. Right? Somewhere. No, it's not anywhere. What do you mean? The moment you have an object you're talking about, it's in some space. It has some. It's somewhere. The sound, where is it coming from? And some time. Without time, where will it be? Right? Needs a place, time. Any object, anything has to have a place and time. Without a place and time, how can it exist? Have something without space. Not possible. And something without time. Not possible. So space and time it needs. The whole world needs that in order to exist, to appear. Space and time are needed. Look, you create your dream world. You have the space of where the dream is, the whole world, a dream world you created, and time where things are happening. Otherwise, there can't be a dream. So any creation needs those. And then it also needs causation. Right? Take away causation now. No causation. Say anything, experience anything, right? What can you do? They're just, we're here and that's it, right? Because causation means now there's action, there's reaction, something, this is here because I worked hard for, I lost it, there must be some reason, somebody stole or the god took away, my bad karma, there would be on and on and on. Without that, where's your story of your life without causation? Where is it? Whole world is here, came from somewhere, some big bang, or by chance, or the God created, like this. Some causes there. So mind needs these in order to grab. Now what happens is, every instrument has its ability, but then its ability is also limited. Like you get the greatest car, I have a wonderful car, it can drive, and it can also, it's so wonderful in this. Drives everywhere, low gas mileage or no gas mileage, just, goes on hydrogen, now they have some pipe, the pumps like this, all these wonderful things, great. But now you go somewhere there are no roads, it's limited. Or you want to go to a different continent, limited because it can't fly. So it has its limitation, everything has its limitation, so the mind has its limitation. So this power that it has, limitation, you take away these three parts, these part of the tongues, it can't do anything. So it's trapped in, it's also trapped in there because it can't think outside of that box. Right? Think beyond your thoughts. Right? So you're behind the thoughts, you're not the thoughts, that's an instrument. You drive the car, it's an instrument. You're not limited to the car. You get out of the car afterwards and you go do whatever you do. So you use the mind, but then I identify with it. I'm the one behind the mind, using the mind. I'm not the mind itself. If I was the mind itself, then how could I be there when I'm not thinking? One very, very good thing you do, there's one exercise, is you when you observe the mind, you watch the mind and thoughts come and go, right? So when the mind gets fairly quiet, then a thought will come and it'll go. Before the next thought comes, there's some gap. Maybe just a moment, but there's some gap after a thought. A wave comes and goes before the next wave comes. So with a little practice, just here and there, you sit quietly for some time, at least that gap, you can increase a little bit. The Rajyoga exercise to increase that a lot. Here the idea is don't have to increase a lot, just notice. Yes, there are thoughts, sometimes quiet. Just to notice this much. When quiet, there's no thought, but you're still there. You're the one behind you're there behind the thoughts, and you're the one behind the silence of the mind too. Meaning that you're the one behind it, you're not that. The thought is just the surface, like the waves in the ocean. Somebody lives near the ocean their whole life and say, I know the ocean, look, I know the different kinds of waves and this, and I also surf and I go on my boat, but they only know the surface, right? There are fish that live a mile underneath. Even now, new creatures they're finding were the depths of the ocean they didn't know before, but no idea about that because we don't go further. Just this mind was just literally like the surface area. We just stay there. So how can I say I'm that? I'm that's what I am. I'm something beyond that, beyond just these thoughts. And again, then the mind says, okay, good, now pack it, show me what it is. I want it. But so it's the mind of the mind, right? That's what it said before. It's the what's because of it you can think, but it's not the thought. The thought can't grasp it because it's not limited. Now, the interesting thing is the mind is a great tool, but also limits. As with the car, limits. It limits you. You can use it, but it also limits you just a certain purview, just to the roads, nothing more. Maybe in some action movie on the stairs too, or on the water too, but it's still limited. You can't go everywhere, do anything. So the mind, that way it's limited, identifying it's limiting. Like there's something limits, where what I am is not limited by that. Okay, so important thing. And one thing that happens in as we're looking in Vedanta then is when we do the Shravanam, we listen to the things, and then we notice what happens is as we start looking into more, that most of the time I assert the non-self, right? I assert the parts that I'm not, what I'm not, because I'm out of habit. Out of habit, that's the worldly thing, that's what I'm used to. I keep asserting that this, I'm not well, right? I'm in pain. I'm troubled. The mind has a lot of thoughts. Mind is troubled, right? The body isn't well, like this. But we keep out of habit identify with that, and I keep asserting myself as an individual. What do you think? I'm studying this many years. What do you think? I'm studying Vedanta 10 years. You think I don't know? Like this. What do you mean? What are you talking about from this? I'm from that culture. I know. How are you telling me that? I assert my idea about myself. And actually, anything that helps to break it a little bit is very good. It's very good because then it helps me to say, oh, you know, like for instance, you're from a culture from somewhere. Somebody points it out, no, I'm from there. Then you find out that's something you didn't know about it. Yeah, that's true. I don't know everything. Very true. So, yeah, so then it helps to dampen that idea. But the thing is, the main thing is I identify as these things. And Vedanta is saying you have to look beyond you. It's just an identification. It's a role. It's not what you are in essence. Sometime before, whatever you're identifying with, you weren't. Sometime in the future, also you won't be that because it'll go away or you'll leave this world and then what? We came a little while ago, life goes by fast, and we leave the whole thing in the middle, identify with everything so much, and I take all that as me and everything. Right? Like imagine, before we're born, we sit and we chat somewhere, wherever it is. We come into the world, we go through all this stuff, and then we meet up there again. It'll be as good as been, we'll say, oh, wow, I went through life like this, like this, like this. Yeah, I had a bad dream there too. I had a very exciting dream there too. It'll be like a dream, right? And we take this whole thing as so big and everything. Right? So in any case. So Vedanta Shravanam, to point out some of these things, then Mananam, I slowly, and Nididhyasanam, I assert these things. And coming back to time and again, okay, what do I do? Well, one of the things you do is be very attentive, aware. I'm very attentive, aware. So then when the pain is there, yes, there's pain, yes, I take care of, but am I the pain or I'm aware of the pain? Which one? Right? Which one am I? And then mind is very excited about and caught up, and after some time, a little while, you know, I'm caught up, and sometimes I notice, yeah, the mind is excited. What's it for me to be so excited about? I was excited so many times, I'll be excited again. I'm aware of an excited mind, okay. Mind is down, okay, same kind of thing. First, it helps you to pull out of so much stuff, that's for sure. But it also, like this helps to the, it's for to learn to look at something deeper. That's the important thing here. Okay. Now, what happens then is in life we come around to, we feel I'm limited by certain things. I have my limitations. So I search for something to, beyond that, something to help. So I search for unlimited. Then I come to the idea of God, meaning somebody, it's not, usually it's not just my idea, but somebody tells me about it and I take those ideas, right? Now I have those ideas of the God. So I have an idea of something unlimited, all-powerfulness. Where's that idea sitting? Right? In my mind. So meaning that God that I think of, that's why not, he says that's in this verse, the teacher's saying that's not the Brahman. Because that Brahman meaning something you're conceiving. Yes, I meditate and I feel very expansive, so that must be the God. Oh, very wonderful. Do you experience it now? No. I experienced it in the morning, but I got busy, so I forgot it. Meaning, you experienced it for some time, you can hold on to it through some experience. Now it went away. Meaning it was time-bound. No, I felt I'm one with everything, but it went away, so it was time-bound. So the mind can say it was there, it's not here now. Yes, there's some experience. So meaning experience, then I take a snapshot of it in the mind. But it's experience. So how can that be the God if it came and went, right? Shri Krishna came, danced with the gopis and went away. So then Shri Krishna is the God like this. Not saying Krishna isn't the God, but which Krishna? The one who came and went, or the presence is always there? The universal presence always there, which one? If the first one, then that God is very limited. Even condensed with all the gopis, still limited. Like that. So in this way. So we look for somewhere out there, something, but the somewhere out there is also an idea in the mind. Out there is an idea in the mind, right? I see, I hear, so then there's the idea of out there. In the dream, there are many things out there, but were they out there or were they just in your mind? Without your mind, could you conceive of out there, right? The whole world, your world is, you experience a world, meaning it's your experience. I'm experiencing a world. This one point, Swami Tatviramandari time and again says, I've heard so many years, and recently I heard that it came from Ramana Maharshi, actually. This is one thing. Just to cite this, and I'll go back to that one, is one time I read Swami Shivananji. He writes something about meditation. Meditation is the ladder that takes from error to truth, from earth to heaven, from mortality to immortality, something like this. Very beautiful. Then after years, I read in a book by somebody called James Allen. He's famous for a book, As a Man Thinketh, and he's many other very beautiful books like that. And I heard about him from Swami Shivananji's talk. He mentioned that, so I found him. He wrote in a book practically word for word, and he's from before Swami Shivananda. I said, wow. I told him one of my senior guru bhais, how can it be Swami Shivananda took from him? He said, yeah, and where did James Allen get it from? Must be in some text somewhere. And then they paraphrase because they heard so many things, they write like this. So in this way, so that's Swami Tatviranda is saying all the years, and this. So what he's saying is, you say the world is there. Did the world come and tell you, good morning, I'm here? Or did you say the world is there? Which one? It's your conception. You see something. When you see, you fill in the blanks. Because you're not just seeing. You fill in the blanks due to your background and conditioning and everything else. Kind of like when they make a drawing with many dots. There's no object there, but you connect and make it one thing. You do that automatically. So we have, there's some sensation in the eyes, and we connect it by what our conditioning is and say it's this. And then if something I totally don't know what it is, I won't register because I don't have a framework for it, so it just stays some abstracting, like this. So then, in this way, we say all of this, and the mind is building all these things, right? Without my awareness, the mind can do it, like in the movie, the movie. Without the projector behind, you couldn't do it. You need the light behind and then the film. So the film is like the mind, right? And then you need the consciousness behind it. I remember as a kid, nowadays it doesn't happen because now they're more professional. Now it's not film like it used to be. You go and watch the movie where I grew up, and there were these rickety movie theaters. And then what happens is you watch the movie, and every once in a while you go, then what happens is suddenly it tears, right? The film tears and it stops and you just see the light there. And people are saying, oh, this, and it takes a little while for them to tape it and just continue from there like that. I'm so happy growing up with the, you know, it's not very old technology, but not so advanced technology. It's much better, I think, than growing up with what is now. Anyway, it's all our people's karma and what's best for them. But in any case, so for some time it wasn't there, so the light was there. When the mind is out of the way, you're there. Then the mind comes back, now again I'm caught up in this mind. I'm still there, but I get caught up in all the game of the mind, but I'm still the one behind it. But I forget, and I get caught up in there again, like this. So what happens, I say it's out there. I say the world's out there. Have to look, well, seeing, where is the seeing happening? Without the mind is there seeing? Without the mind is there hearing? You have the mind, all these senses without the mind, they're nothing. So it's the mind. Where is everything? It's all. Is there anything you experience outside of your mind? Can you show me one thing you can experience outside like this? So the outside is also conception. It's a concept as well. Anyway, the body, as long the moment that you don't identify with your body, wears in and out like this. So one very interesting thing, if you take it like this also, is like this. So I say there's the world out there. Very good. Okay, very good. So I look at the world. What is everything that I experience contained in, right? Everything's contained in space, right? Without space, you have no objects, anything. You need the space. Otherwise, what can you have? I want to paint a picture, but I don't want a canvas. How's it going to work like this? Okay, so you have the space. Everything's in it. Now, do you see the space? Does anybody see the space? Do you hear the space? Can you touch the space? How do you know the space is there? Well, there are two objects in between them. Oh, so meaning you didn't see it. It's anumana, you're inferring it, right? You never saw the space, touch the space, experience space, nothing. So meaning, it has to come, you need the mind touch for the space to know space there. So meaning that it's born from the mind, because without mind there's no space. You can't have space without mind. So then we say space is a mental category then. Right? You have your we say mental space. Mental space we say it's citta akasha. Citta is the mind, citta akasha. So there's a mental space. Meaning a space where you have internal space where you have all the experiences if you want. Right? You need a space to keep all of the mental stuff, right? So you have a mental space. So is the external space separate from your internal space? Oh yeah, yeah, it's out there. But it's out there, your mind conceives of it. Your mind conceives that it's there. Meaning that can you have that space without the mind? How are you going to have it without your mind? You need the mind and then... And then the objects are in it. So we're talking about the space in which the objects are. So if you swallow the space, you swallow the whole world, all the objects too, right? Package deal. There's bread and there's butter on it. If you swallow it, eat the bread, the butter will come with it, right? So you swallow the space. So my mental space is there. And then within it, I experience many thoughts, many things. And then the external space is within that. Show me that it's not, you know. Because take away your mind, you know, you don't have it. So meaning that external world now space, but now you'll say, yes, so everything's in my mental space. Now, how do you know the mental space is there? Right? How do you know it's there? Because you're aware of it. I'm aware that I think, and so there's some space there in which all the things are there, some mental space. So it's referred to as chidakasha, but we said chidakasha is the mental space. But Chidakasha Chit being the consciousness. Here it's space like awareness, because Chit, you can say awareness, but it's not really space, because the space, again, you're getting into some dimension, whether, but it's space, because it's like, similar to. So it's space like awareness. So within the space like awareness, you have the space, you have the mental space. Because what happens is the consciousness, anything, just like the movie, everything's brought to light by the projector, right? Projector brings it to light, makes it tangible. Your consciousness brings everything to light, brings your sensations to light, brings your thought to light. It brings everything to light. Within the light of awareness, everything you can is perceived, conceived. You need the light for that. So, and it's kind of like space, because everything you experience is within your awareness, right? I know there's inner space. How do I know? Because I'm aware of it, like this. Otherwise, I couldn't know that. So this way. So what's behind? And then say, why is that? Why is he saying that what is behind you is Brahman, meaning unlimited, all pervasive, you know, formless like this? Well, it just, whatever you are in there, just swallowed the whole world and you included in it, right? Because all of my experiences are within my mind, within, I can't without the mind, without the mental space, all the external, but then the consciousness, it's all within the space of awareness, Chidakasha. So, and again, the space like awareness, very important, not space of awareness, because then you're going to say there's another space, right? But it's not a space, it's similar to, because everything is within it, like this. Everything appears within it, if you want, like this. So this is, you know, this is how it can't be the mind, but what is behind the mind. What brings light to the mind is the consciousness, not the mind itself. Any thought is there, how can it be there? I need the consciousness behind it for it to come to light. Otherwise, it would be kind of like if there's a ChatGPT running, doing many things, but there's no conscious being aware of it. What's going on? If there's a movie, nobody's watching, there's no story. The mind has to connect it. Somebody has to be aware of it. So without you behind it, where is the mind? So the mind doesn't stand on its own. And anyway, now with what they're doing with computers, just shows the functions of the mind, many are being replicated by a machine. So it's a machine. Are you a machine, or are you a conscious living being? Which are you? Right. So obviously, now I know I'm not a machine. Maybe some things I do in a mechanical way, but that's not what I am. Like this. So in this way, it points this out. So what happens in the Nididhyasanam, one thing that's done is this. The Sharavanam helps to point these things out. So I point things out. These kind of vakyas that help to point at myself beyond just the limited idea of myself. And then these things I have to take and I have to, you know, reflect on, because what happens, I hear very good. But then very quickly the mind comes up with, but what about this? But that's why we're not studying this with the Shankara Bhashya. The important points that they were bringing in, the commentary, but a lot of time in the commentaries there, those of you who have the text who are looking at it, then there, in the Sanskrit, here and there, say, nanu, but, what about this thing? What about this? Meaning, purvapaksha. Purvapakshi means somebody with a different idea that is a counter idea, arguing. In order for us to think about these ideas that are conflicting with this, those are doubts I can have about this. So mananam, those doubts come up and I have to clarify them, like at the beginning of the meditation, am I one or many? We've other classes we've discussed this. Have we worked it out yet or not? If not, I haven't diced that enough. So meaning I hear that I'm just one, I'm not many. Okay, if you're one or not many, well, clarify. You know, otherwise we sit on the fence, maybe here, maybe there, but I haven't decided. Well, then we just stay in limbo, like this. So it takes a lot to look into. It's not that it's, you know, okay, because it takes a lot to, but mananam is our reflect on. And then what happens in Nidhyasana, then I just look at it from, as to clarify, whatever is clear with it, I look at it from that angle, instead of from the angle that I'm used to. So there's a story that they give to show about this Nididhyasana, is that this prince, who's a toddler, he gets kidnapped by the thieves, right, the dacoits. And so they search the ministers, the generals, they searchers, they can't find, so they give up after some time, they're not finding him, right? So he grows up with the dacoit family. He grows up, and then of course he knows that family, doesn't know his original family. He just knows that one. So he grows up learning all of their ways. Not the ways, the royalty ways, but the thievery ways. So he's there for some time, till he's a young man, and then what happens is somehow they come to know, the ministers find out, and they capture and bring him, and so they bring him back to the kingdom and back to the palace, and slowly explaining everything that happened, and slowly it becomes clear to him that, you know, that he's really a prince, he wasn't the dacoit all the time, just seemed to be. But now what happens is his thievery samskara is quite strong, because that's what he grew up with, right? So he's sitting in the palace and he sees some very, you know, some golden statue there. He's thinking he's better quickly steal it when nobody's looking. And then when he's thinking to do that, and the servant is there, sees, he says, "Oh, prince, you don't have to take and put anywhere, it's yours. Everything in the palace is yours." "Oh, yeah, I forgot." I forgot of this. "Out of habit, I think I'm that one." Okay. So it takes time for his samskara to change. So in this way, as we look into these things and it becomes clearer, what happens, the other samskaras are very strong. This young man, the samskara is there from 15 years, from age 3 to 18, that he lived for the dacoit. But our samskaras are a little bit there for a little bit more time, a little bit deeper, so he's a little bit patient with it. Like our teacher, Vijayji, he says, he gives the example when you... Not a small sailboat or motorboat, but you have an ocean liner, and it's going now as to turn. The huge ship like this, it'll have to take some time to turn. It's not going to turn, you know, in just a few moments. So it takes time, but still it'll turn. So this way, but you know, they'll have to turn, you have to keep persistent. So the change like this, yes, as it becomes clear, still the other samskaras are, I'm used to seeing things in a different way. So first I have to become clear what the Upanishad is pointing out. I have to become more and more clear about that, not just, you know, mind thinking about, but I observe it. It's pointing out these things. You know, you're the awareness, you're not the thoughts. Seeing it more and more, seeing that, because thoughts come and go, they can be, I can observe them, right? They're not there, I'm still there, I'm always the same regardless what thoughts, etc., like this. So it becomes clear, but then I have to keep bringing myself back to that because of the old habits. Keep bringing myself back and back. That's Nididhyasana, to keep seeing it from that angle. Make the other ones weaker and make this vision stronger like this. That's really what we do. So that's, we have to look at it again and again and again like this to clearly see, because, you know, if you have another choice, a better way to do, be great. But I don't think there is. If there is, game, we should do it. But that's how the things are, it seems. So we do our best with that. So let's finish here for today. We tackled the speech and then the mind. The others will come soon. Om. 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 Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So one thing is, as we mentioned last time, next 3 weeks I'll be in the different time zone. I'll be in the East Coast. So because of that, the class for next 3 weeks will be at 6 p.m. because otherwise I'll start the class at 10 and then it'll be a little difficult. So for next 3 weeks it'll be 6 to 7 and then afterwards we'll go back to the regular schedule. So just be aware of that so that you log in. I see that Linda already started today. I saw you logged on at 6, right? So you beat us to it. No problem.
I think it's 6 o'clock.
No problem. Better that you got 6 and didn't think it was, there was, we changed 6 to 7, then you come, So just, we'll do it then. Sorry if it's a little inconvenient for some people, but for a few weeks and then we'll change back, okay? So, and these things again, all these things, you take your time, you take notes, you think about, you hear again, you reflect on them, clarify. The more you look and clarify, different questions come up, you bring them, the more you look into, the questions are deeper about it. And then we discuss and you, like this, that's how this works, okay? So that way. So that being said, if any questions you had before we finish, then now's the time and place. Desha and Kala, time and place for it. And there's Kalana also, there's also the cause-effect, because it's unclear. Because Gajanan made things confusive, then I have this question. So, so I can ask. Very good. So no questions then for today. So excellent. So I'll see you next week. Then right, 6 p.m. We'll be doing it then. 9 p.m. then. Very good. So I'll see you then. Have a good week.
Thank you.